Pizza City is brought to you by Grande Cheese. Any pizza maker will tell you, besides the crust, the cheese is the most important part of the pie. So why not use the best? Grande was founded in 1941 by Filippo Candela. He had moved to Wisconsin from Italy to pursue his passion for cheesemaking. He named the company Grande because it's the Italian word for greatness. Grande secures milk from local dedicated family farms. They work closely with them to help them monitor cow health and milk quality. Plus, their cheeses are all natural. That means their mozzarella has only four ingredients: pasteurized milk, cheese culture, salt, and enzymes. They produce a full line of Italian cheeses, not only part skim and whole milk mozz, but also ricotta, provolone, parmesan, and romano, sold as loaves, shreds, dices, and slices. Robert Garvey is the owner and pizzaiolo at Robert's Pizza and Dough Company in Chicago. Named recently as one of the top 50 pizzerias in the world, he goes through thousands of balls of mozzarella every week.
It's very creamy. It's got a touch of salt to it. It's got a nice flavor to it. It's the kind of cheese you can eat plain. It also complements all of my ingredients. It goes really well with my sauce. And what I really like about it is it melts well. I like the way it looks on the pizza. And I can tell if it's not grande just by looking at the pizza and how it melts.
So use the cheese the best pizza makers use. Request a sample at grandecheese.com or give them a call at 1-800-8-GRANDE. That's 1-800-8-G-R-A-N-D-E. Your pies will never look and taste so good.
It's not all about pizza. There's a lot of like politics involved, and there's a lot of like training your staff and making sure like people are happy working for you.
James Durawa is a child of Green Bay, Wisconsin, but spent several years learning bread and pizza making in Portland, Oregon, before coming back to Wisconsin and opening his artisan pizzeria on the west side of Milwaukee. Today, he's still an outlier in the land of square-cut tavern style, and that makes his pies even more special. The story behind Why East Pizza, straight ahead.
Straight-fried pepperoni.
I need a deep-dish pepperoni and a thin sausage to go.
Can I get two cheesivores and one Detroit?
Can I get one large pep, one large sausage, and one large pep special?
This is Pizza City, the podcast dedicated to the art, craft, and passion behind the world's greatest pizzas. I'm Steve Belinsky, author of Pizza City USA, the ultimate Chicago pizza guide, and founder of Pizza City Tours and Pizza City Fest. And welcome, everybody. Great to have you along with us for another edition of Pizza City. Before we get to our show today, I want to talk about my experience last weekend. I was one of the 5,000 or so folks who paid quite a bit of money to go to the One Bite Pizza Festival that Mr. Barstool organizes. I was just curious, as a Pizza Fest creator organizer, to see how they do it. But here was my experience. I went online when tickets were on sale this summer. Right away, I wanted to get the $149 ticket. That was the cheapest ticket. Those were not available. And so 2 minutes after the went on sale, I got the $199 ticket. So $200 plus the service fee, $235 all in. That was all you can eat pizza from 35 pizzerias, mostly New York, New Jersey, and New Haven. And drinks were not included. And it was at the minor league baseball stadium where the Brooklyn Cyclones play, Maimonides Park in Coney Island. So flew out there last Saturday morning, rented a car. Unfortunately, it did rain all day, and that is not the organizer's fault. Just as an organizer of events myself, you just feel for people when it's raining like that. But I got to say, I liked how it was organized. The line management was great, much better than what we did in Chicago. Having all the booths there in the outfield and the infield really spread out nicely. But the weird thing was, well, two things. Everything was cheese. And I was wondering, I was asking the pizza makers, why is everything just cheese? And I guess when Mr. Portnoy does his reviews, he only does cheese pizzas. So that's what they had. There were maybe two or three pepperonis, and I saw one sausage from Louie and Ernie's. The pepperoni from Ace's, by the way, in New York was fantastic. But then that brings me to my other point, which was there were only about three or four styles there. There was, of course, New York slices, Sicilians, beautiful grandmas from King Umberto on Long Island, and some bar pie style. And like I guess the Jersey tomato pie. But obviously no stuffed, no deep, no tavern, at least Midwestern tavern. Also, unlike the Pizza City Fest, there were no seminars or panels or discussions. They had DJs and did some music. So a bit limiting for $200, I think, for a ticket. I'm not sure I'd go back to do that again, but I think 5,000 people seemed like they had a good time in the rain. But it was very interesting to see how they do it in New York. Okay, shifting gears now. From Brooklyn to Wisconsin, Milwaukee has plenty of outstanding tavern-style pizzas. Zaffiro's comes to mind. But a few years ago, they also got their first artisan, long-fermented, all-natural starter-driven pies, courtesy of James Durawa, who logged some important time working for Brian Spangler at a piece of Shoals in Portland, Oregon. James and his wife moved back to their home state to plant roots and begin the quest to bring artisan-style pizzas to the Cream City, where they are definitely a rare breed lodged somewhere between the ubiquitous tavern styles and Neapolitans. Y East is an easy 10-minute drive from the ballpark in case you're going to see a Brewers game and don't feel like eating brats all day. We began our conversation, as we always do, by asking our guest about their first pizza memory.
Green Bay, Wisconsin, probably Godfather's Pizza.
Like 70s?
This would have been early 80s.
80s, okay.
Yeah, they had a Asteroids Deluxe there. My best friend and neighbor, both of us had paper routes, and we would spend our money playing video games and getting Godfather's Pizza and probably a ton of cola.
So what would a Godfather's in the 80s have looked like? Would it have been cut into wedges or squares? Was it thick, thin?
I believe it was like, it was a pan pizza, pretty thick, cut in triangles. And we would always get like plain sausage pizza, and the sausage kind of looked like rabbit droppings, like perfectly round. And it was delicious. Like we loved it.
And that was the order. The sausage pie is the order for you in Green Bay.
Correct.
Okay. And how did you take this love of pizza beyond Green Bay?
I always had an interest in bread baking and kind of wanted to bake bread. I got a pizza book by Peter Reinhardt, I think one of his first pizza books.
It's amazing how many businesses that guy's inspired.
Yeah, and he actually visited our cart in Portland, so I got to meet him. He signed my book. But that was a huge inspiration for me, just learning some pizza history, and then the second half of the book was pizza recipes. So it was very like historical and hands-on. And then I got an apprenticeship at a Pizza Shoals. Brian Spangler was a fairly big influence on just the business aspect of it. It was my first experience kind of in a high-volume pizza kitchen.
And how'd you end up in Portland?
My wife and I decided to move to the West Coast after we hiked the Appalachian Trail. And my brother lived in Seattle at the time, and so we were kind of thinking we wanted to be somewhere on the West Coast. We had a friend that lived in Portland, and we never left.
And there's a culture out there of bread baking and pizza making.
Totally got me into it, yep. I realized, like, people are doing this on a pretty small business model. It was pretty big at the time, and it's still, I mean, it's just blowing up there, so.
So how long did you work for Spangler?
Just for, like, less than a year.
That's all you could take.
That's all I could take. Yeah, it was a workout.
and then where did you go from there?
Then I opened the pizza cart. So in 2009, we opened the pizza cart.
This was right after the recession.
Yeah, it was one pizza at a time. It was like 30 pounds of dough. It was very, very, very small production. And, you know, we had never owned a business. So it was kind of like getting our feet wet, learning.
And this was in a, like a food cart pod in Portland, like
this
they
was like a standalone cart. We got extremely good rent, and we loved our landlord. It was in a weaving studio on 50th.
Pizza in a weaving studio, that sounds very Portland.
Pizza in a weaving studio, yeah, it was like pretty darn cool.
And what kind of pizza were you doing? The stuff that Brian was doing at a Pizza Shoals?
Pretty close, yeah. It was like the pizza I knew at the time. Also, Ken Forkish, you know, we ate at his artisan pizzeria quite a bit. It seemed to be the style that was up and coming at the time.
So you're really getting steeped in this artisan, long fermentation.
Very bread-oriented. It's not just like a flattened out pizza with the emphasis on toppings. The emphasis is really on the bubbles and the dough itself.
You know, the family and all the children of the people milling your flour and where they came from and like...
True.
How'd you get back to Wisconsin then?
Both of our mothers were getting up in age. All of our families lived here. So we kind of thought this might be a good time. And we knew the cart wasn't going to last. Like, we needed to like switch gears. I was looking at buildings in Portland as far as pizzerias went. The more I thought about it, the more like the move seemed logical. Like, if pizza was going to continue to be part of our future, like, it, Milwaukee might be a good place to do that.
Because obviously at the time, and what year was this when you were thinking?
2013.
So 10 years ago, I'm guessing Milwaukee was mostly tavern style, square cut, thin and crispy, Zaffiro's, Wells Brothers.
Correct.
Or maybe a chain, you know, that nothing really special in terms of sort of the bread baking approach to pizza.
Yeah, I mean, it still kind of is, you know, aside from a few outlying pizzerias that are starting to realize there is more to life than tavern style pizzas.
But that's got to be a hurdle when you came in and open up here. How tough was that? And how, I mean, your wife was saying even the last couple of years it's been a hurdle. Educating people.
Yeah. Some people don't get us. Like, they don't want to see like dark bubbles on their pizza. Some people want it cut in squares. They're just used to, you know, what they're used to. And tavern style pies were the norm for so long around here. My business model was they don't need to know why they like it. They're just going to like it.
And how'd you come up with the name?
Y East is the Native American precursor name of Mount Hood. And we did a ton of hiking at Mount Hood, around the Cascade Mountains. I remember looking at a topo map and I thought like there was on the summit of Mount Hood, I thought there was a word called Y East. I wasn't sure how it was spelled. I was really hoping when I got back home and looked at the map, like it was spelled with a Y-E-A-S-T on the end. It turned out it did. I guess it wasn't all that original because there's a beer yeast manufacturer in, I think, Hood River that goes by Y East. There's a lot of Y East references in the Northwest. We were trying to figure out what we were going to call it when we moved to Milwaukee. We had a lot of press. We had like some online presence. We just decided to go with Y East just to confuse everyone.
Okay, so when someone like you moves back home, you move back to a town where they don't have a lot of artisan pies, let's say. You know, Portland certainly does. You mentioned Ken's and a Pizza Shoals and Sarah Minnick is out there, lovely 50-50. Yeah. You come back to a town like this, you might not have the infrastructure of the millers and the flour. I mean, certainly cheese is easy here, but in other ways it might be more difficult, not just from convincing and educating the public, but just working with suppliers. Was that at all a challenge, or has it been easy here because of shipping and everything's available everywhere now?
Well, we're really close to Chicago, and luckily we get like a lot of our high-end stuff from Chef's Warehouse. I mean, we don't use the most artisan flour out there, so flour hasn't been an issue. We get a lot of our workhorse cheese from another local distributor, Greco and Sons, where we get all of our grande cheese. But then, like, the higher-end Italian cheeses, sun-dried tomatoes, better stuff we get from Chef's Warehouse out of Chicago.
All right, we're going to make a pie back in the kitchen. We're about to open the store here, so I want to just make sure we get a pie going in a minute here. We're going to come back and keep talking with James Durwa here from Y East in Milwaukee. And we're also going to preview some scenes from our next show coming up in 2 weeks, so stay with us. Welcome back to the show. We're here at Y East in Milwaukee with James Durwa, the owner, founder. What neighborhood are we in, James?
This is Washington Heights. We're 5 blocks east of Tosa.
Which means nothing to me, but I'll tell people that it's about 10 minutes from the baseball stadium on the west side.
Yes, west side.
Okay. What do we? And who do we have here working
this
with us?
This is Thora. She's been with us for almost like a year? Almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years, yeah. Okay.
Time flies.
All right, so Thora, how's it going with the stretching? What are you doing?
I don't really know how to explain it. I'm not the best with.
She's doing a hand stretch, it looks like. Tell me about the flour first, James.
I got here at about 6:30 this morning. Had it all mixed by before 7. So it's got a pouliche in it, and it's got some sourdough.
What kind of flour are you using?
This is General Mills artisan bread.
The Galahad or white flour?
Mostly white flour, a little tiny bit of whole wheat flour.
But there's a little bit of a natural starter in this too?
Yeah, that's King Arthur whole wheat flour.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why, like I do a pouliche and I do sourdough.
So only about 10 hours of resting time today?
Yep.
Okay.
Like after the dough ball was, so I mix, I do stretch and fold for 2 hours, and then I ball it right away. So it's all balled like before 11. So the balls have been resting for 5 hours, mostly at ambient. This summer, like we might refrigerate for like a half hour, 45 minutes, just to kind of like make sure they're not gonna grow out of control. So she's putting on sliced grande cheese to protect the dough. I believe this is a red pie. Yes.
No. But you do slices first, that protects the bottom. That's every pie is that way?
Not every pie. Like sometimes we'll have a pesto. I've been trying to like ease off the amount of cheese because I feel like sometimes pies just get very cheesy.
Yeah, that's not something you'd expect to hear in Wisconsin, but anyway.
I've been doing a lot of creme fraiche, supplementing the fat with heavy cream.
She left a little bit of a bare, sort of a half an inch or so untouched, and now she's adding the sauce. Tell me about the sauce you're using.
That's the Bianco.
Dinopoli. Anything added to it?
A little bit of salt, a little bit of herbs, a little bit of garlic. There's pepperoni.
Where's that from? Oh, wait, first she's adding some, is it Padano, Grana Padano?
Pecorino Romano. Then pepperoni.
Those are large pepperonis.
Yeah, wow. Large pepperonis.
Like a baseball diameter.
Those are from Chicago. Oh, that's Ollie. Okay, sometimes we use the Chicago tempista.
And now she's adding raw sliced mushrooms. You don't saute or roast these ahead of time? You're not worried about the moisture coming out of those?
I am worried about that. We do also offer roasted mushrooms.
Oh, that's a nice option.
Yeah.
Give people that option.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've got a special pie. It kind of started with a special pie that we do, Yeti Tracks, which is roasted mushrooms. And it's kind of like very flavorful and souped up with a lot of beer and spices.
This person also ordered like sliced green peppers on theirs. And now it's ready to go into the oven.
Yeah. So that's like, it's kind of a heavy pie.
It is a heavy pie.
And that's, so when you've got that much toppings, you want to like sort of minimize the cheese.
Yeah. Is it all grande here, by the way?
Yes. And then sometimes we'll have special cheeses from Wisconsin, cut like Car Valley.
I mean, you're in Wisconsin. You got to use Wisconsin cheese, right?
We use a lot. We use like goat cheese. We use blue cheese. And those are mostly for our specials, like our sort of one-offs. But yeah.
You seem like a scholarly guy, so I'm going to ask you kind of a scholarly question here about cheese. Someone told me in Chicago that they prefer the Wisconsin cheese because of the climate here. The cows are less stressed. They like it cool, typically, as opposed to the West Coast in California, where it's much hotter. The cows are stressed, and therefore the quality or the taste of the cheese is different. Does that make any sense to you? Have you ever heard that before?
I mean, it does make sense. I've never heard it before. It's a great theory. We should get some bovine psychologists on this this question.
Okay, I'm just curious. tell me about your oven. What do you have here?
This is a Forno Bravo solely gas-powered dome oven.
Okay, and reason you don't want to use wood?
It's messy and not that ecologically sensitive.
Yeah, and so this takes how long to heat this guy up with the stones?
I turned it on at 11 a.m.
It's 4 o'clock now, so.
So it's got a thermostat in it. It sort of toggles between, like, high heat, low heat.
What optimal here for your pizza is, what, 650 to 700 or so?
Well, it's set at 560.
Oh, okay.
But when you actually take the dome, the floor temp, we're looking at just over 700. But then over here, we're looking at almost 800.
Yeah, so you know where your hot spots are. So now you're just going to sweep it out a little bit.
Yeah, just make sure there's no dust.
You've already got guests in the dining room, it looks like.
Yeah.
All right, so let's see you launch this guy. You're going to just...
I put a little bit of cheese on here for cosmetic purposes.
A bit of extra shredded mozzarella, it looks like.
I think there's a whole bunch of cheese on it. Then I put a little bit of these herbs on.
Like herbs of Provence? What kind of herbs? Like oregano?
Oregano, basil. Yeah.
The usual suspects. He's going to launch this guy with his wooden peel. checking the oven, checking the temperature, checking the floor temp. It's going to launch it right onto the stone. And about how long is your bake typically?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have pizza. I'm always surprised with a pie like this that there wasn't a longer fermentation, but that is, you save that by having the poulish and the natural starter?
In my mind, that's a pretty long fermentation. But yeah, the poulish is 20% of the final dough. And then my sourdough is probably another 5.
And are you feeding a starter every day?
Yes.
That's got to be fun.
Yeah, very fun. So our focaccia is no commercial yeast, all wild yeast.
That's
very fun.
That seems like a probably rare thing in this town right now.
That's actually, the focaccia sort of influenced the pizza dough a little bit in that respect. Because, you know, commercial yeast is great for raising dough, but wild yeast has a funky flavor.
So your goal is maybe 3 or 4 shades of brown and black underneath, really crispy, crunchy, firm,
crunchy.
Foldable.
Correct.
No tip sag.
Correct.
East Coast influenced?
Yes. Pizza in Milwaukee tends to be a little on the light side. You know, I don't go out for pizza all that often, but I see people's posts and what they think is what a good pizza is supposed to look like. It's always underdone. It's always pale.
I don't like pale.
I don't like pale either. You ride that line between crispy, crunchy, chewy, right? You don't want it soft Neapolitan. You want to fold it. You want it crispy. You should have an audible crunch, right? You like that.
Like the crunch. I don't like a soggy pizza. I like a well-done pizza where the cheese is like thoroughly melted and even like turning shades of brown.
I'm surprised you allow people to order raw mushrooms then. I would think that you'd have to pre-roast or saute.
It's being in a business with your significant other, there are differences of opinions. Let's just keep it, say that.
You know, if the pizza thing doesn't work out for you, run for politics.
Okay.
That's a very political answer. It was very, very well said. All right, listen, James, last question we ask all our guests. Oh. Knowing what you know now about pizza making, which is a hell of a lot since working for Spangler in Portland and working, you know, and working your way up and building this place in Milwaukee, what would you have told your younger self, let's say 2015, before you opened here, to be successful, what advice would you give your younger self?
It's not all about pizza. There's a lot of like politics involved, and there's a lot of like training your staff and making sure like people are happy working for you. You have to have some pizza knowledge, but also you need to have like people skills and
think about like from the HR perspective.
Correct.
Yeah. It's a people business.
Yeah, it's a people business.
All right.
Yeah.
James Derwa, thank you so much. The restaurant again is called Y East. It's WY_East here in Milwaukee. Again, 10 minutes from the baseball stadium. So nice to come here, get a bite before or after the game. James, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Good to see you again.
You too. Okay, coming up in 2 weeks, we're back in Chicago talking to a classically trained chef who pivoted to pizza before the pandemic and now has 4 locations around the city.
You just got to focus on the details. You know, all the little things mean so much. You know, when it comes to a restaurant, you know, like I think I touched on it earlier, not operating in cruise control.
I'll talk with Matthew Wild of Bob's Pizza. That's in 2 weeks on October 13th. Remember to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend and rate us, please. Also, reminder, support the show at anchor.fm/pizzacity. We're at Pizza City USA on Instagram, and our website is pizzacityusa.com. Bureaucratic wrote and performed our theme song, and here's wishing you an optimal bite ratio always.